What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. I want to say thank you almost every episode to all of you that are listening. Over 100,000 unique listeners. We're so grateful, and we're going to keep bringing it with stuff that will improve your practice and your life. And today is a great one. Your team and your culture is everything. And there are 7 habits that create a toxic environment. And today I have an amazing coach on. Her name is Adriana Booth. And we go through all 7 toxic habits that are hurting your practice culture. You have to be on the lookout for all 7 of these. Please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Our jam here is to create this information, this podcast that you guys keep showing up for, to help you improve your practice in your life. And have you ever felt like your practice is just toxic? You know, there's toxic behavior, it's affecting the culture, and you just don't know what to do? Well, today, we're going to help you with that with an amazing coach. Her name is Adriana Booth. And we're going to talk about the 7 toxic habits that are hurting your practice culture. You might not have all of these, but some of them might be creeping into your practice, and you got to go after them right away. AB, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Kirk.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go super high level. You know, we coach a lot of practices. Mm-hmm. Why is this conversation today so important?
Well, culture is everything, right? Yeah. We know that as a company. You know, Kirk has been at this for a long time, and, you know, he's humble enough to talk about his ups and downs. And I've seen it over the last 9-10 years. And it's just, we have a great culture. We've worked hard on it, though, because it has to be intentional, right? A strong practice, it doesn't just collapse or change overnight. It's erodes slowly, just small habits that aren't being watched or aren't being little check boxes made. The trust gets weak, communication goes down, and then there becomes no accountability, right? And those are just really slow things that happen. So it's hard to always put your finger on it. So I think today, when we go through these 7 toxic behaviors that are going to silently sabotage your team, their performance, the morale, and often you as the leader don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah.
Until you look back and then you see, oh, there was, yes, I got that. So when we go through these 7, I hope that it resonates with you and you can find a way to either turn that dial up or just put some more conversation to it to improve these in your practice.
Yeah. And so what an eroding culture looks like. No. You know, you see all these videos on like warning signs of a heart attack or all this kind of stuff. Like, we're going to give you the warning signs of an eroding practice culture in a dental practice. It starts with this. And I had all of these when I started ACT Dental because I'm a wuss and I didn't know how to deal with any of this. You're putting out fires. You feel like you're just putting out fires. It's just one fire after the next. You got sticky notes everywhere, and you're wondering why your team can't seem to function independently or communicate openly. Why can't these people get along, and why can't they figure a lot of this out? So if that's happening to you, that's warning sign number 1. Warning sign number 2 is you feel like you're the only one that cares about this place. You're the only one that cares about the success of the practice. Everybody just clocks in, clocks out, and does their job. That's warning sign number 2. That should not be happening. Warning sign number 3 is team drama, missed expectations, and poor follow through. The team drama gets bigger. You start having these side conversations and you think they're helpful, but they do exactly the opposite. They make it worse. Then you miss deadlines. And then you find out people aren't following through because they have this apathy or they don't care or they stop caring type of a thing. And then the last warning sign is that, like, the stuff you've worked so hard on starts to break down. Systems start to fall apart because no one's taking ownership. Like, financial arrangements start to slip. You know, collections starts to slip. Like, scheduling starts to slip. And so, and then you hear the phrase that makes you crazy. And it's this one. That's not my job. And you want to scream at the top of your lungs. Because you're like, that's not why I work so hard. Now, I'm having fun with you, but that is not fun. And those are all warning signs that your culture is slowly falling apart. And it doesn't fall apart like quickly. It's slowly and it starts to cascade. And then one of your favorite team members comes up to you. And if you've ever had this conversation, I have. It's the worst thing ever. They go, today's the day. And you go, what? They go, it's me or her. I can't do this anymore. Or somebody you really love says, I have to tell you something. You're like, oh, no. Okay. No. So let's stay out of there. We're going to get you out of there. You know, AB, I was commiserating with AB before we hit the go button. And I was looking through. We have our list written out. We're going to share it with you. And I was thinking to myself, I told AB, I've done all of these the wrong way. So let's start at the top. Like, what, you know, of the seven toxic habits, what's the number one?
The number one toxic habit, or maybe more of like a toxic trait, right, is the absence of trust.
True.
Your team members may be unwilling to be open with one another about concerns or weaknesses. They may want to hide their mistakes and, you know, be a little embarrassed about if they don't know something or know how to do something really well. So they just avoid vulnerability altogether, which is the telltale sign of they don't trust each other, right? A lack of trust ends up leading right into miscommunication, finger pointing. It wasn't me, it was her. Fear-driven culture, which always, always affects your patient care. And ultimately your team morale.
Yeah.
You know, we read a lot in ACT. We love books. We love podcasts. And in Patrick Lencioni's book, The Advantage, and in Gino Wickman's book, Traction, they both talk about vulnerability-based trust. And it is the key to a positive culture. Not just trusting that your team's going to show up on time, do all the elements of their role, but they are open to trust each other on a deeper level. They have each other's backs and they really want the best for one another. So it's not the trust that I can leave my purse on the table with that winning lottery ticket in it. And I think, you know, no one's going to take it. It has nothing to do with that kind of trust. It is that vulnerable trust to say, I was wrong. I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Those types of trust are really key on a team. So when they're really the team members and the owners, doctors, are genuinely transparent and honest with each other, that's when we're really able to build our vulnerability-based trust.
Totally agree. Now, you mentioned vulnerability-based trust, and there's something called predictive trust, which means I trust you to do this, do that. It's a task. It's seriously a task. But once trust starts to go in any relationship, whether it be at home or at work, it's bad. You can spend a lifetime building trust, and it's a moment where you start to lose it. Now, a lot of you listen to this podcast, you get, if you're like me, you can make this way harder than you think. Well, we got to do some things together. Like, we got to do some team building and all of those things. What I've learned the hard way is that it's exactly what you said, AB. It's about being really transparent, predictable, sticking to systems, being honest. And so I'm a big fan of the Traction system created by Gino Wickman. You guys have heard us talk about that. And then any work done by Patrick Lencioni. But what I've learned the hard way in 31 years is if you do the same meetings and you do them right and you're honest and they're done well and you share with people what you can and can't share, and information gets cascaded clearly. And you've got a set of values, which are behaviors that keeps everybody in line. You're going to do okay. You're going to start the process. I was listening. I'm going to go off the rails for a little bit, but I was listening to a podcast recently, and they had a parenting expert on there. And I thought one of the things they said, it was brilliant. I had to watch it a couple times. And the parenting expert said this: in a family, you have to make it clear that all feelings are welcome, but all behaviors are not. And so I was like, that is gold, because it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to share a feeling. But a behavior is how we externally manifest words and things like that. So I think it's really important when you start to create a level of trust, you got to have everybody on the same page about how we behave, how we meet, how we talk, and just being predictable with that. People will go, oh, okay. He actually says he does what he says he's going to do. Trying to be vulnerable with people in a moment between patients or after work when you're exhausted, that's tough. So find a system. And if you can't find a system, find a coach. So absence of trust, number one, for sure. What's the second toxic habit?
Avoiding conflict conversations.
Ooh, I'm the best at that. Because they go away if you avoid them, right?
Oh, yeah. Just disappear out of nowhere.
Right.
Opposite, right? They just like snowball and get worse and worse. It's interesting. I just had a team that we had a really great conversation around this. And sometimes I try to use language with my teams that isn't intimidating or it doesn't feel so heavy. And I have to remember that, you know, we do a lot of this work with our doctors behind the scenes, but we don't get as much time with their teams. So I really have to be conscious of that. And I will call it itchy conversations, because it just feels like an itchy shirt you just put on. It doesn't feel great, but you know you have to wear it. And one of the team members said, I love that word. Can we please start saying itchy conversations instead of conflict? I'm like,
right,
that's our agreement. But when they can't have those conflict-based conversations, just meaning we don't agree on it, or maybe it's something that I thought one way about the story and you thought one way about the story. We have to learn to come together, have a healthy debate. It doesn't have to be loud voices. It doesn't have to be, hard language. It can just be, here's how I feel. Kirk tells me how he feels, and we find a way to meet in the middle, right?
Yeah.
If these disagreements go unspoken, they become toxic, not constructive, because then it does become an argument and you've got all these buried feelings in there. So when the unaddressed issues fester, those little tiny problems of, you know, Kirk not ordering the supplies on time, they become really big ones, and all of our energy is wasted on gossip, passive aggressive behaviors, rather than just saying, Kirk, how can we help you get the ordering done a little faster?
Yeah.
Love to help you. What can I do?
Yeah. And I have so many thoughts on this, but like the conflict thing is hard, because again, I hate conflict. I just hate it. It makes me sweat. And I used to like not deal with it at all. I would go to somebody, try to resolve it individually, avoid it. And what I found for sure, and you can write this down if you're taking notes, is unresolved conflict always, and I do mean always, becomes a crisis. When you don't have resolution to any conflict, whether it be perio, whether it be relationship, whether it be financial, you don't resolve it, at some point, it's going to become a crisis. It will. It may not be today. It may not be in a month. It may not be, in the next year, but it's going to blow up. So you got to get good at resolving these conflicts. And you're right. It doesn't have to be confrontation. It can be, listen, we use a formula here, expectations minus reality equals conflict. So we know that if expectations and reality don't meet, there's going to be a conflict, which ultimately becomes a crisis. So it's a great framework to be able to use. And then, AB, you said something really powerful. We've learned this the hard way, too. Agreement and alignment are not the same things. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. Like, you and I don't have to agree. We don't. it's actually good that we don't agree, but we do have to be aligned on how we do business, how we behave, how we treat people, all that. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, because it's actually good to disagree about, you know, vision, all that kind of stuff. And then lastly, you mentioned kind of the concept of triangulation. When it doesn't get resolved, people like to share it. They actually will take an easy path, meaning I got to talk about this. So they find a common denominator in the practice and they want to spread some gossip or conflict. And what you have to teach the entire team, and I do mean the entire team, and our coach helped us with this, is that when somebody comes to you to triangulate, meaning I'm going to talk with AB about a problem I have with Barrett, AB's got to stop the conversation. Yeah. And the phrase that our coach gave us is this: am I going to tell them or are you? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm happy to have this conversation with Barrett if you're not happy to have the conversation, but you can't just dump this on me and leave because now it's going to fester. So just, I hope that's helpful if you're listening to this, but like it's a constant thing that you have to work on. You've got to be mitigating conflict, either, you know, addressing the issues itself or, you know, coming up with something that addresses the conflict and brings it to the surface. Anything you would add?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just human nature, right? We're all guilty of not maliciously, but maybe going to a coworker or a friend. And when you spend all day with the same people, that's naturally maybe who you're going to talk to about it because they do know where you work. They work with you. So even if you feel like, oh, we have a no gossip. Okay, well, as coworkers, you're going to have conversations, but you're right. Have a kind of a code word or a key phrase. You know, if Kirk brings something to me about Barrett, maybe I say to him, would you like me to help you work through this so that we can come to a solution that you can deliver to him?
Yeah.
You know, so make it constructive. Don't let it just be, you know, using your trash cans as ears. My teams hear me say that a lot. If you want to dump something out, I tell my teams all the time, if you want to just really gripe about Susie, write it out on paper. Write all your feelings out, then just wad it up and throw it in the trash. Yeah. Because that's where it belongs. Like, just vent it out and move on. But yeah, creating that space to say, are you going to tell him or am I? Or how can I help you come to solution?
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love them.
But number three, Kirk, I think this one is, you know, as a team member on your team, you're an amazing leader. And I think this one you will be able to speak to really well is the number three on the toxic behaviors or toxic traits that can happen on a team is lack of commitment.
Yeah. And this is a tricky one. A lot of this learning came from Patrick Lencioni, but commitment is when voices aren't being heard, team members don't feel valued, they start to disengage, they don't buy into your decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, you have inconsistency with your systems. There's a lot of things that start to happen and you can see it's not good. And so we always say without weigh-in, there's no buy-in. Your team members have to have a voice. Now, do they get to decide where all the practice goes? No. That's why I'm a big fan of the check-ins. Mm-hmm. Individual check-ins are so important. They are probably one of the best things you will ever do in your business if you get into a habit of them. What you're going to find is you're going to be able to connect with team members individually. You can do something as simple, and we have this back in the BPA. A check-in is the same thing every time. It's business high, business low. You know, professional high, professional low. You don't have to share anything other than what's on your mind. And then what can we help you with as a leadership team? And it's so cool because what team members start to do is they start to give you feedback, you know, because how can I help? What can I do better? And when you just open that up and they know you're listening, and we make it really clear, like, I'm not going to do everything, but I do want to hear what you have to say. Now you're going to start to buy in. You're going to get a little bit more buy-in. There's going to be more commitment. People feel like they have a voice. So it's just really important. Make sure that you've got some type of a system to have that commitment, because when you start to lose that commitment, you can see it start to fray. Patients are going to feel that. And the ultimate loss of commitment starts to affect your commitment. You're like, I don't even want to do this anymore. You know, I don't even know if I want to own this place anymore. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know. Anything else you would add about that?
You know, I think the one thing that I've learned as a coach at ACT is how important team meetings are. You know, team meetings, they give us that space to weigh in as a team. You know, as the dentist, office manager, in those meetings, that is a space that you can get buy-in because you are getting weigh-in. And like you said earlier, we don't have to all agree, but we're going to be aligned when we leave this meeting. And everybody's going to maybe get to throw their ideas around, whether we work as a whole group or in small groups. But I think that has been a key for a lot of our practices who, you know, they're challenging to coach because we get the best of the best.
Yep.
You know, we already are working with a great skill set. So we can help them turn the dial up on building trust, getting that weigh-in and buy-in from their teams. These things are a little easier to manage, right?
Yeah.
Number four is a tough one, right? And I like to use two different versions of this. So avoiding accountability to me is also avoiding responsibility.
Ooh, say more.
Yeah. So when we think about this, if we don't have clarity and commitment from our team, they are going to avoid confronting their peers about the behavior or the performance. Their tasks are going to get dropped or missed, maybe not performed to the highest standard. And ultimately, that responsibility falls unfairly on the doctor or the manager. And then their burnout, like you said earlier, it's like they don't even want to show up to this place anymore, right? So we want to create that culture that puts a hand up. I'll take responsibility for that. I'll take accountability for that. Let me take this off of your plate. Because we do want to share in all the responsibility of a practice. And that's how, as a team member, I feel valued and important on a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And accountability is a trigger word for me because in years past, and my heart goes out to previous team members because they're like, you don't trust me. And I would talk about accountability and they're like, I'll get this done. Like, don't worry about it. What I know now that I didn't know then is accountability requires some type of accounting, meaning there has to be specific details. I raised, with the help of my amazing wife, three teenage daughters. Zoe just gave me a t-shirt that says teenage daughter survivor. I think I should get like three of those and I'm going to start passing them out to my friends. But like, if you ever raised a teenage daughter, you can't be vague, you know, specific is terrific. And so when it comes to even what time should they be home, it's a number. And then they go, well, you don't trust me. I trust you like you wouldn't believe, but I'm going to verify that too. And another side story is I have two breathalyzers in my house, one downstairs and one next to my bed. And so like, that's terrible. I have to share that. But like,
so glad, you know, my mom did not have one of those.
I know. But here's the thing is like, I'm not weird about it, but I reserve the right to use it at any time. Like, I don't use it all the time, but they knew, like, don't lie to me. If you've had a beer, just say you've had a beer or had a drink. Like, the worst thing you could do is lie to me. And this thing will tell the date on it. Now I'm kind of going off the rails, but I want to come back. And the whole idea is this. If you and I are going to agree to do something, we've got to come up with specific details and data around what's going to happen. That's the ultimate thing with accountability. When somebody says, I will have this to you by Tuesday, and they do it, that's amazing. If you've ever worked with a construction company or anybody who's like, we're going to have this done on a certain date, like, accountability is so powerful. It's clarity. It's follow through. It's all of those things. Is anyone perfect? No. But what happens is people will avoid accountability. Now, I'm going to finish with this and say this. The favorite people you've ever worked with, ever, they love accountability. They love transparency. They love talking data. They love talking deadlines. Your least favorite people you've ever worked with don't want to talk details. They don't want to talk deadlines. They don't want to talk results. They just want to tell you how hard they're working. And that is fair. But the bottom line is you as a leader have to create an environment that we're talking data and details and results type of a thing. The educational world works like that. The high school that your kids attend, you don't go to a teacher's meeting and say, how's my kid doing? They go, he's doing all, you know, doing okay. We gave him a bunch of stars. And you go, well, what's his grade point? Well, we don't keep that here. And you'd be like, I got to get another school going. You know what I mean? Type of a thing. My son is also type 1 diabetic. You know, accountability. Data is like everything. A1C, we can talk about the patterns we're in. We can but the data and the results ultimately tell us if we're doing this correctly. So avoiding accountability, avoiding specifics, avoiding data, it's important. You know, it's important not to have, what am I trying to say here? You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So that's number four. What's number five?
Oh, number five, inattention to results.
What?
Oh, drives
what
me
does that mean?
I think this one is the one that I love whenever we can get into this conversation with a team member, with an owner, you know. The biggest piece of getting this part right is knowing that we are a team working together toward goals and measuring success. That's what really creates a winning culture. Yeah. You know, the ultimate goal builder of all the steps that have came before us, of building the trust, having healthy conflict, being committed, and being accountable is actually the achievement of results. So that's why it's like, if you picture this like a pyramid, the base layer is trust, and we have to build from there. We can't just jump to the middle or jump to, oh, we're all accountable and responsible. No, we have to start with trust and build up our patient care, our practice growth, and especially our team harmony really suffer when people only focus on the me and not the we. You know, that silo mentality. The long-term goals get extremely compromised when we have short-term ego-driven decisions being made by team members.
Yeah. This is a tough one too. I totally agree. You know, and I'm going to beat up this quote that Lencioni has, but it was me. You know, he said, you know, a lot of you are leaders and you think, oh, we have a great team, but we never really achieve our goals, but we're great. And he's like, no, you're not. A better way to describe you guys is that you're a mediocre team who doesn't really care about whether things get done and you somewhat enjoy hanging out together. And I was like, oh my God, is he looking right into my soul? Because I would apologize for not getting the results, going, it's okay. Well, it's not okay, you know? And do you have to be a hard ass about results? No, but you have to think clearly about this. If you ever hire another person, which you all will if you're listening to this, you only hire people for two reasons. Our coach helped us with this. You hire them because they fit your core values. That is number one. And you hire them, number two, because they can get results in their role. It's not because of how hard they work, what kind of effort. You can see that this person can get results. And when you create that type of a situation, you're going to start to create a situation where everyone cares about results. Do you hit your goals every time? No. But when you have people that are ultimately attached to the results, they care about the results, we're looking for countermeasures, they come to you and say, hey, listen, we're going to miss this one. What can I do? That's the cool part, is that you're getting attention to the results and you're ultimately going to get the results. But AB, I don't think you say it any better. Yeah. All of these things, if you've seen Patrick Lencioni's pyramid, they build this ability. So you don't start with trust, or you don't start with results. You actually start with trust. You start with the ability to have difficult conversations. Then you have the commitment. Then you have the accountability. And then what you have is this flywheel that creates results. And you're like, I don't even know how we did that. Well, we started with the things that mattered first, and those were really important. So what's toxic habit number six?
Yeah. So when we think about the five dysfunctions of a team is, you know, what we started to build this podcast off of. And then we were like, wait, there's like two little more stars at the top. You know, so we have to make our pyramid go just a little bit higher. And number six is not leading by example.
Mm. Okay, explain what that means. Yeah, I think everybody kind of knows what that means, but let's go a little bit deeper on it.
I mean, if you're a parent or if you're a child, you've heard this kind of. So you want to do what someone else is doing, right? But in a positive way. So you as the leader must pave the way.
Right.
Your behaviors are being watched all the time. You know, even as a team member, when we talk about leadership and we teach leadership and how to grow your leadership, you know, flex that muscle a little harder, is every person on your team has someone else that looks up to them, is watching them, that is mimicking maybe their behavior, their style, and most likely they have no idea. You know, a lot of times we don't do a great job telling other people that we look up to them, or we monitor what they do because we want to do that too. So when the leader shows up and is vulnerable, that gives the, you know, opens the doorway a little bit more for the team to be vulnerable. When the leader confronts their fear of conflict or has those itchy conversations, but they approach it respectfully, the team will follow.
Yeah.
When the leader follows through on what he or she said they were going to do and they did it, the team will follow. That one, I can't tell you how many times as a coach, I have sat back and thought, your team is not really giving it their all in our program because you keep hiring coaching companies, but you don't change anything about you. You want to change right. them. Now, fortunately, those are so rare in our community. Thank you to the ACT Dental community. But it does happen, right? So as the leader, that's where you just got to turn the dial up. And if you say you're going to do it, you have to go first.
Yeah.
If you show accountability, you can then hold the team accountable. And that actually elevates the respect they have for you. And they will follow suit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a big part of this too, let me help you with this if this is a big deal. You do have to lead by example. Not leading by example is toxic. Uh-huh. And we teach dentists all, number one, you have to be on time. Like that's probably one of the biggest things. If you say your morning huddles start at this time and you're showing up late with your cup of coffee coming in hot, like you are screaming to everyone, this is not important. When you're not on time, it screams, I don't care. Just do what I'm telling you to do, but I'm not going to do it. So I think that's number one, is just be on time for every meeting you possibly can. When you're consistently late, people start to, they start to lower their expectations uh-huh. of you until they have none at all. So that's number one. Number two is, try to live in a way that, like, when you tell somebody to do something, you're going to do it yourself. And I like the idea of no secrets. Like, I don't have any secrets. I really don't. You know, I if anyone asks me, can I take a look at your phone? I go, sure. Go through all my messages. Like, you can look at everything. You're going to freak out by how many messages I have on there. But like, I would hope that you would just find that it is what it is type of a thing. So like, I love the idea of living transparently, because what I hope you're going to see is that the things that matter, the things that we talk about, for the most part, are being followed in that respect. And then lastly, I think as a leader, you're going to hear us say this a lot, like you have to repeat over and over and over again what's important around here. As a leader, you got to talk about the values. Like, I'm the chief repeating officer here. I repeat everything so many times. People are like, you have got to stop telling that story about the Applebee's 3-time employee of the month. They actually just roll their eyes now. Like, but like, I think if you're good at telling the stories that matter and you're leading by example and people, this is so cliche, but, doing the right thing is when no one's looking. I forgot how that goes, but like the definition of integrity is when you're doing it all the time and you don't care who's looking at it. And, I think that's an important asset test, but it ultimately stabilizes this whole pyramid mm-hmm. that you're building to create this strong culture, because none of us want to work for a leader who just talks and doesn't do anything. Oh, I want to go back to one more thing I was going to try to say is like, knowing yourself as a leader is important too. Yeah. I have one major, major regret as a business person. Is that I wish I would have gone back and taken all of these personality tests and understood what they meant earlier in my career, like the DISC, like Colby, like the Culture Index, and Working Genius is what we're working on now. And you would find, if you look at all my test scores, I suck at follow through. I'm really good at socializing, but details are not my thing. So like, I got in trouble early on in my career trying to be the detail person and all that kind of stuff. And then Kathy Colby, God rest her soul, her maiden name was Wunderlich. She read my Colby test and she's like, you're the worst person on the planet in follow through. Like, you shouldn't even, how they say chew gum and walk, like that is applicable to you. And I was like, oh my gosh, that meaning I needed to create countermeasures when it comes to leadership measures, like follow through things. I can't do that. So if you're a leader out there, It's important to know what you're good at and what you're not good at so that you can show up as a leader that leads by example. So that was long-winded, but I hope that makes sense. And let's finish this off, AB. Yeah. The seventh toxic habit that's crushing your culture. What is it?
It's neglecting feedback.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us, we want to hear if we're doing a good job, but we also want to hear how we can improve.
Right.
You know, and once you have built that trust foundation, you can have these conversations with your team and it doesn't feel like conflict and it doesn't feel, like a corrective conversation. It could just be like, hey, AB, you know, I really like when you do this, but I'd like you to do this more. You know, we can figure out how to phrase that and your coach will be really helpful in this. We have done thousands of hours of communication training, 5 behavior certifications. You know, we've went through all of this so that we can help you. Even if the feedback is only for appreciation,
right?
That is so valuable. And that actually builds the trust even more. We can evaluate tasks with feedback. We can also, you know, what would say like coach them up, you know, help coach them into a better version of themselves. And that as a leader, you can do that in your own team as well. So when you see your team even meeting expectations or exceeding them, even in the tiniest way, acknowledge it, verbalize it, write them a nice note. Just expressing appreciation consistently and right away goes a really long way in building that positive culture.
Yeah.
When you see your team failing to meet expectations, don't just ignore it or wait until that next check-in that you scheduled 6 months out. Get those check-ins monthly so that you have that 15 minutes to just connect and provide feedback on things that have happened recently so the team member knows where they need to turn the dial up, or maybe you as a leader know where you need to turn the dial up. So having those constructive and helpful conversations along the way can really just boost the morale in general. If we avoid that feedback, it's going to lead to resentment. You know, the worst thing as a team member you would ever want to hear is, well, you're going to be let go because you haven't met expectations for the last year. What? Yeah. I never heard this. What are you talking about? You know, you're blindsided as a team member. So if we can have these check-ins, like Kirk mentioned earlier, and you can find that form in the BPA, walk you through it, that does lead to poor outcomes for your entire office and especially your culture. And your all-star team members are going to grow really frustrated after watching underperformers never have any kind of consequences. So it's like, well, why am I going above and beyond if Susie never has to go above and beyond and nobody right. calls her out on it? So we right. want to make sure that those feedback loops are constant. And sometimes it'll feel like, oh, meetings, another meeting. Yes, we call it whatever we want, but we do have to have those check-ins regularly. Kirk, yeah. you mentioned a few minutes ago about taking all the tests and the personality tests. There's also a really great resource in the BPA. But you can look up, it's available. It's a little scored test. How trustworthy are you?
Right.
And that one is a really great resource. Each of the team members could do it. You do it, start as a leader doing it yourself. There's 2 other guides that we've added in there that all are applicable to these 7 toxic culture traits to avoid. Guide to building trust. Now that's a pretty lengthy resource. And I've recently had a client who they've been with us for 8 years and he is having all of his team fill that out. And then they can have those discussions during their check-ins just to kind of switch it up a little bit. And I thought that was genius. They saw it at TTT and just really enjoyed doing it for themselves. And then our rules of engagement. That is, you know, that should be the first thing when we onboard a new team member. What's acceptable behavior standards in our practice?
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So well said, you know, and I'll just piggyback on a couple of things. Like nothing frustrates a great team member than when you consistently tolerate a bad one. And so don't do that. Now, the reason you can't, you know, one of the best ways to not do that is what Adriana mentioned is like you get creating. We have these resources in the Best Practices Association. The right person, right seat scorecard. Yep. And with regular check-ins, every team member should know exactly where they stand with you. We use a scorecard. You can get a number of 0, 1, or 2. 1 means you're meeting expectations. 0 means it's below expectations. 2 above expectations. And to your point, anyone that's let go, it should never be a surprise. Mm-mm. You know, there should be way in advance, it's expectations of what we expect. You're falling short. I'm here to help you. And let me share with you what we're going to need from you in the months that follow in order for this to work for both of us. And then the other thing about feedback too, if you struggle with getting feedback from anyone, get a coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of the coolest things about the coaches we have, especially you, is like, you don't have to like it, but here's the truth. AB's just going to tell you the truth. And what's really cool is you're going to get used to it. I love our coach because she doesn't sugarcoat a thing. Man, here it comes. Bam. I need that because we can't see ourselves in that respect. And then lastly, you're going to get feedback from team members, from other members of your leadership team, and even from your family. Mm-hmm. And there's an acronym that I use. Maybe this will work for you. It's called WAIT. It's WAIT, WAIT, W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? When someone else is talking and they're trying to they're trying to convey something to you. I was really good about just railroading that or just bulldozing over it. I'm going to explain to you why you're telling me this. No, wait, just be patient. Wait, wait. You know, that sign that it's that thing that you press when you cross. Wait, wait, wait. So daily, probably 15 times a day, you're going to hear this in my head. If you had something like to hear what I was saying, like, wait, wait, don't talk. Wait, why am I talking? Let them talk. Let them share their thoughts. And now you're going to start to create better, more reasonable feedback. They're going to say, he does listen. So a lot of thoughts here, but AB, bring us home. Give us some final takeaways on this.
Yeah, such a great conversation. And, you know, all of my clients who listen to our podcast, and they all do because I get to hear about it, or they like to remind me that I used to have really dark hair. Now I have blonde hair because the sparkles have started growing in. But they'll tell me, I say, listen, I am only hard on you because I love you and I want you to be a better version of you. So, Kirk, you're the same way, right? We just love people so much. Yeah. But just going back to the foundation, you know, great culture doesn't just happen. It's not built by chance. It is truly shaped by what you tolerate, what you model for your team, and then what you also reinforce. So reinforcing good behaviors, reinforcing structure goes a long way. Those toxic habits that often will go unnoticed or ignored, that's just your first step to look honestly at your team, your practice, and internally at yourself to just assess and see which ones, maybe one, maybe two, maybe all of them, are happening in your practice, and then using our resources, tools, and coaching to turn that dial up and correct those, finding the right ways to navigate that. I would love, love, love for anyone who's listening to hop into the BPA, grab these resources. Kirk, you mentioned right person, right seat scorecard. That's a one we all love. Guide to building trust. How trustworthy are you? And rules of engagement. You know, jump in, grab those 4 and just really get started on how to really level up your culture.
Amen, sister. AB, that was awesome. Awesome. So, and the whole reason we do this, if you're listening to the podcast, we just want you to be better, not make the mistakes that we made, and recognize the warning signs of when your culture is under attack by these 7 toxic habits. So hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to keep bringing it, and make sure you jump back in the Best Practice Association. Hey, guess what? We actually have an app now, if you don't know that. Like, you can start the journey for free back there. Search Best Practices Association either on the Apple iStore or the Google Play Store, and you can start there. And then you can upgrade to Premium and the other places there where the conversation continues back there. So hope you guys are enjoying your week, and until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.